Welcome to your custom deep dive. Today we're looking at an editorial about New Paltz, New York. And our mission for you today is to explore like a totally different way to think about historic preservation.
Right. Yeah, because usually preservation feels a bit like, I don't know, taxidermy.
Exactly. Like a building gets frozen in time, stuffed behind museum glass, maybe slapped with a bronze plaque.
And the town council just passes some passive zoning law.
Right. Which is comfortable. You know, we like history to be clean and state managed. But this editorial argues New Paltz hasn't survived just because of like government grants.
No, not at all. It's intact because of this concept of inheriting stewards. The town's defining features are voluntarily maintained by the literal descendants of the people who built them.
Oh, wow. So it's a living family heirloom instead of a static museum.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Well, to understand how that actually works, let's go back to the beginning. The editorial mentions the Valley Settlement around, I think, 1677?
All right, 1677 to 78. So 12 French Huguenot families who were fleeing religious persecution arrived in the area, and they actually pooled their money together.
Like a 17th century crowdfunding campaign.
Pretty much, yeah. They secured a 40,000-acre patent, which was essentially this massive, you know, royal land grant, and built these stone houses along the Wallkill River.
And seven of those founding-era homes are still sitting right there on their original foundations, which is wild. But, I mean, old buildings exist in every colonial town, right?
Sure, yeah.
And they almost always get bulldozed eventually for, like, a parking lot or a strip mall. So how did this specific street avoid the wrecking ball?
Well, it comes down to a very specific pivot in 1894. So 2.5 centuries after those homes went up, the descendants realized their ancestral street was, you know, deteriorating.
Okay, so what did they do?
Instead of waiting for the government to step in and save it, descendants of those exact original 12 families actually formed a society and bought the property back themselves.
Wait, really? They bought back their great-great-grandfather's houses?
Yeah. And today, that is historic Huguenot Street. It's one of America's earliest descendant-run preservation museums. And 131 years later, they are still running it.
That is incredible. But I guess multi-generational obsession can scale up way beyond just a single street. Because the editorial transitions from the valley up to the Shawangunk Ridge.
Right, the rocky, mountainous area towering over the town.
Exactly, and it introduces a completely different family, right?
It does. So in 1869, you have these twin Quaker brothers, Albert and Alfred Smiley. They bought a tiny 10-room inn on Lake Mohonk, plus a few hundred acres.
Just a small family business.
Right. But over the next 6 generations, the Smiley family transformed that little inn into the Mohonk Mountain House.
Which is this massive, functioning 259-room Victorian castle.
It really is a castle, yeah.
Surviving 6 generations without selling out to some massive corporate hotel chain is statistically wild. Like, how do you pull that off while keeping the whole natural landscape around it completely intact?
Well, you do it by turning a family business into a durable institution. So in 1963, a family member named Mabel Smiley made a founding gift to establish a land trust.
Oh, smart. So moving from private ownership to, like, a protected trust.
Exactly. And that initial trust grew into the Mohonk Preserve. It's now an 8,000-acre nonprofit nature preserve, which is actually the largest in New York State.
That's huge.
It is. And because it's actively managed by a trust, it protects the ridge entirely. I mean, they host 50,000 rock climbers a year.
Wow. And it sits directly adjacent to Minnewaska's State Park Preserve, right? Which tacks on another 23,974 acres.
Yeah, it's this massive continuous block of protected land.
Which brings us to the core takeaway for anyone listening to this deep dive. Because I think we tend to assume that passive zoning laws or historic registries are like the ultimate armor for a town's legacy.
But they aren't, because passive rules can be overturned the second a town council flips or, you know, a market crashes.
Right, exactly.
The reality here is that operating institutions outlive preserved buildings. Think about the difference. A zoning ordinance is just ink on paper.
Right.
But a functioning museum with a full-time descendant board, or a profitable hotel, or a heavily funded land trust, those entities have revenue, they have staff, and deep personal motivation.
They survive economic downturns and election cycles because they're actively working to survive.
Exactly. It's specific active stewardship instead of just, you know, hoping small town charm is enough.
Right. And the editorial actually gives you a perfect insider itinerary to feel this difference yourself, which is great.
Oh, yeah. The itinerary is fantastic.
Yeah. So they suggest you spend your morning walking Huguenot Street. Then you head up the ridge for lunch on the dining room terrace at Mohonk.
Which is gorgeous.
It really is. And finally, you hike or climb the traps. Those are the sheer cliffs that are heavily protected by the preserve.
By doing that, you'll be experiencing the town exactly as its stewards intended.
Perfectly said. So the next time you drive through any historic town, try to look past the bronze plaques.
Yeah, look around.
Ask yourself, who is actually keeping this working, and how long will they? Because true preservation isn't taxidermy. It's a living heartbeat maintained by the people who refuse to let it stop.